want to share with you this morning a story of a young teenage boy who grew up homeless in Zimbabwe. And this young teenage boy, he was a gang leader. And then one day there was a evangelism crusade in Zimbabwe. And this gang leader and his friends, they decide, well, they are going to go to the evangelism meeting, but not to attend, but to bomb at the end of the evening those who were there. They wanted to bomb Christians. And as he was outside waiting, something called him to go inside. We know it's the Holy Spirit, to go inside and just to hear what it is about. And he went inside and he heard the gospel preached. And he radically gave his life to Jesus, that he took his bomb, he disposed of it, and he went and he joined this missionary crusade. And for years and years and years, he would then go and share his testimony, how God saved his life, how radically he came to salvation. And 30 years after he was saved, he was at an evangelism crusade in his hometown where he got saved. And as he was sharing this message, there were two old ladies with a Bible. They were flipping through the pages and they were whispering to one another. And this guy is standing, he sees and he's like, okay, I've been a minister for so many years. There's nothing new. Let me just carry on. And these ladies, they were just speaking louder and flipping through the Bible. And he says, ladies, can you just wait, let me finish. And they say, no, come here, we need to show you something. And he's like in the middle of preaching, and these two ladies, they call him. And then he gets to them, and they show them, look, there's a date at the back of their Bible. On the day that he was saved, they two were somewhere else, and they prayed that evening that a gang leader be saved. 30 years later, they met for the first time ever. Just incredible that prayer is so powerful. That they were not at the evangelism meeting. They were somewhere else praying that God, will you this evening save a gang leader? And this gang leader named Stephen Lungu, he got saved that evening. He's a known, they call him the Billy Graham of Africa. And that's how he got saved. And these ladies, they praised God that evening. And there's something about prayer that is so profound and so important that we need to draw on when we speak on prayer. And this morning we are going to speak on prayer, but there's a specific angle to prayer that I want to speak about. But we need to realize the need for prayer and the importance and the power that lies behind prayer. These two ladies were fortunate to see their prayer answered. And sometimes we can go without our prayers answered, but when God moves you to pray, boy, you pray. You pray. But the thing is that prayer should be our first response, not our last response. So prayer as a first response and not a last response. It means that we need to pray before we move. We need to pray before we act. We need to pray before we go, that we move from a place of prayer. That everything we do or set out to do, we do it from a place where we've prayed about it. And then we move. And the task that lays before each and every one of us is big. So it's best that we start praying. It's best we start praying. But I want to read this morning from Nehemiah. Now, if you don't know Nehemiah, Nehemiah lived in the time of King Artaxerxes. If you've watched the movie 300 Xerxes, they believe it's that king that he served under. And he was the cupbearer of that king of Persia. It was at a time where Persia was in power. And those who remember when we went through the book of Daniel, after the Babylonian Empire, the Persian Empire rose, and Nehemiah was the cupbearer for this king Artaxerxes. We read that in Nehemiah 2 verse 1 to find that. And he was one day in Susa, the capital of southwest Persia, and he heard reports of something terrible that has happened or the state that the city Jerusalem is in. And he was so moved, and let's read Nehemiah 1 verse 1 to 6, the first part of verse 6 or the whole of verse 6. It says that the words of Nehemiah, the son of Sholiah. Now it happened in the month of Chislev, which is the ninth month, in the 20th year, as I was in Susa, the capital, that Hanani, one of my brothers, came with certain men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who escaped, who had survived the exile, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant there in the province who had survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are destroyed by fire. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant that I now pray before you day and night for the people of Israel, your servants. And verse 11, it ends, O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and the prayer of your servants who delight to fear your name and give success to your servant today and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. This man being, said the king. And he says, now I was cupbearer, said to the king. I was cupbearer to the king. Now, we can see that this was written by Nehemiah. It was written at the time when Malachi was the prophet of the time. So it's written very late before the silent years. And it was written to encourage people to stand up against opposition. Because Nehemiah lived during Artaxerxes and he was the cupbearer to the king. And Nehemiah, when he heard these news, he was so moved, he was so burdened by how things are going with Jerusalem, that one day as he was serving the king said to him, Nehemiah, why are you so sad seeing that you are not sick? This sadness is of the heart, nothing but of the heart. And Nehemiah responded, the king live forever. How can I not be sad from hearing that the city of my fathers, where my fathers are buried, that it's laying in ruins? And then the king asked, well, what are you requesting? And Nehemiah said, if it pleases the king, can I go to Judah? Can I go to Jerusalem? Can I go and repair the city? And then, so the king gave him letters that he needed so that he could get all the material that he needed. And he set out to Judah. And in the evening, he went and he inspected Jerusalem's walls, and he started to see, okay, I need to gather some people up that we can build this wall. And he gathered local Jews that were living in Jerusalem at that time and gathered them to build this wall. And we read in Nehemiah that they then began building this wall around Jerusalem. And when it was half its height, there were some who did not want this wall to be built. There were those who were anti this place being restored. And they came up and they made opposition against Nehemiah and those building the wall. And when opposition came, Nehemiah learned of that these people are riling up to come and hinder the work they were doing. And then they learned, who wanted to come and make war on Nehemiah, learned that Nehemiah knew it, and God frustrated their plans. But Nehemiah just did not do nothing. Half of the working force were working while the other half held a spear. It was so intense that some were even working with their one hand while holding a weapon in the other hand. They were not going to let opposition put them down, because they have a godly decree to build the wall, and they are not going to let opposition hinder them. And so in the midst of this opposition, the wall was finished in record time. And it withstood until 70 AD, when the war broke out in Jerusalem. This wall stood for many, 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 many years. But this is the story of Nehemiah, and it goes there. That's just up until the end of chapter 6. There's a whole other few chapters that I want to encourage you to go and read. And it is when we find this, that when Nehemiah heard the reports about Jerusalem, his heart was burdened. His heart was burdened for the news. He had a godly burden for God's kingdom, for something that is holy, that is in disarray. And the burden he felt for the things of God moved him to pray and lament for his people. And he even And he prayed a prayer seeking God's face. He was not just seeking God's face. He repented on behalf of Israel. He repented on their behalf and said, Israel have sinned against you. Even my house have sinned against you. Forgive us. And it was a prayer to say, God, what can we do about this? God, use me. This is not okay that things are laying in disarray, that your holy city is laying in ruins. It doesn't even have gates because it has been burned down. And from that burden came prayer. And after Nehemiah prayed, God's favor was with him to go and rebuild the city wall. And he found favor with the king, and the king sent him with all he need. But it did not come without opposition. Rarely do we step out into something that God has put on our heart, that after we pray, that it's just smooth sailing. Opposition, Jesus saying that it's gonna get tough, but you know what? I will be with you until the end of the age. And when I'm with you, you will not fail. Did not come without opposition. So great that they were working with their one hand and fighting with the other hand. And I don't know about you, but my response would maybe be either to fight or to work. Definitely not both. But they were so determined. Can you just picture yourself, I mean, working IT, there with a keyboard and a sword on the other hand, just getting... These were not soldiers that were fighting. These were normal town men who built the wall, but they had God with them. Just incredible. And the work was completed despite the opposition, and the work was done. And may a prayer move us to action, and not action move us to pray. See, many times we do this, we set out to do something and we just go, and after some time you say, oh yes, God, would you bless this thing that I've been doing? We do that. Like, prayer should move us, not move, then we pray later when we hit an obstacle, where things become difficult, then we want to pray. Or when we decide to start a new venture, then we go out and then later pray, or make a big career move and then later you want to pray when things are not nice. Or maybe you set out to buy a car that you cannot afford and you fill in the forms, and where it says what's your monthly expenses, you write half of what you actually need to survive. And after the first payment goes off, you're like, oh God, save me. Maybe if you prayed before you made that decision, you would have known that God said, this is not a smart move for you now. But that's what we do. We make our own choices and we do our own things, and then we want God to just come and bless what we do after the fact. After we've made a mess of everything. And God is so gracious that He comes and He deals with it. But sometimes there's a need for deliverance, but sometimes there's a need for wisdom and to repent when you don't listen to God. Because when we do these things, what we are actually saying is, God, bless my will, not your will. Let my will be, and then I will ask you to bless it, and then it must work out. I mean, I'm asking God to come and do something. But the thing is that when prayer moves us, our perspective shifts completely. Because we first ask, God, what do you want me to do? Is this something that you want me to do? Is your hand in this move that I'm going to do? We see in the life of Nehemiah that he went to a Persian pagan king, and God's favor was there because Nehemiah prayed. And God gave him favor. God gave him favor. When prayer moves us, we realize that we can pray before we move. Is that you can pray for today for tomorrow. You can pray, if you know it's going to be a rough week, you can pray today for the rough week. Not wait until Wednesday where you're burned out and fatigued and then, oh God, save me. You can pray before your week starts. You can pray before the new season you are going to enter. You don't have to wait until the week is kicking your behind to pray. You can pray now for what lies ahead. You can say that, God, you called me to do this thing, and now I'm on my way, sitting out, and I'm freaking out, and I know it's in your will because I prayed about it. But God, be with me. Give me the wisdom I need. Give me the time management I need. Give me what I need so that this, what you called me to do, succeeds. But usually we wait until it's a little bit close to burnout, then we throw our hands up in surrender. But what if we begin to move from a place of surrender? What if we begin to move from a place of prayer? That knowing that where the opposition comes, we will be successful because we've prayed and God is moving us. We are not moving God. God is moving us. And I like what the guy that wrote the book on prayer, E.M. Bounds, what he's saying about this. He says that you can do more than pray after you prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. And I like it. You cannot do more than pray until you prayed. And after you've prayed, you can do more than pray. But you cannot do anything if you have not prayed. Moving from prayer to action. Now we're going to dig in a little bit underneath the skin that Jesus teaches. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:3. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? What it means to be poor, it means that you have a need. So when you're poor in the spirit, you have a big spiritual need. And there's only one person that can fulfill that spiritual need, and that is God. So that when we are poor in spirit, we realize that I am in need of God. I depend on Him every step of the way. My whole being is dependent on Him because I am poor, I am in need, and only God can sustain and provide that need, of which is spiritual. That when we depend on God for everything, and our dependence on God is what moves us. Prayer then is a result of realizing that God, I need you in everything I do. And once you realize that you need God, you are totally and fully dependent on God. Prayer becomes a response before you do things. Prayer becomes a response before you move, before you act, before you make that choice. You pray about it because you know, God, I'm dependent on you. If I'm going to make choices out of my own, I cannot even say wisdom, my own foolishness, then it's sure to fail. But if I've prayed and I've invited God's wisdom, God's light to speak into the situation, I can move from that place with confidence, knowing that I've prayed and it's God moving me. But sometimes we are walking like this because we've not prayed and just hoping that we step on the right step, that we do not stumble and fall. And then, God, show me which one to step on. And it's good to do that when you're in a sticky situation. But what I'm saying is, when we come to a place where we pray before we make decisions, we don't have to live in anxiety whether things would work out or not, because God has moved us. And when opposition comes, rather than responding in anxiety, we respond in faith, because we know God said and God moved me. I'm not moving myself and asking God to be the wind behind my sails. No, I am moving because God has moved me. He's pushing me forward. But then the question that I like to ask is that, if we can be real, is why do we struggle to pray? I understand that it's not always easy to pray. Challenges come and it's just not there to pray. It's difficult. I'm not saying this is the answer, but this is a reason that why I believe we struggle to pray. Is that maybe one reason is that we are not depending on God because we don't see the need. I can make this decision myself. I can go ahead and make this big purchase. I can change careers because, I mean, I can do it. And when we live that way, we are too independent. There's a good independent that you can do your own thing. You can brush your own teeth. You can make your own food. But when it comes to the things of God, being independent from God, you are saying that I can be my own source of moving forward. And then you have to ask yourself, where in my life do I have a sense of independence with God that I need to surrender to Jesus, where I need to come and say, God, I need you. I cannot do this without you. I cannot live without you. I am fully dependent on you, God. Forgive me for this area that I've took into my own hands, thinking I have the wisdom to move forward. God, I repent and I give it into your hands. Show me what to do. And then you move from that place. The most amazing thing with God is that there's always room for repentance. There's always room to say, God, I've made a mess. Change my ways. I want to do it your way, not my way. There's always room because God is good. He's gracious and he's merciful. And when we fail, we know that there's new grace, there's new mercy every single morning, which means that even if you are not where you want to be yet, there will come a day when you will be exactly where you want to be. Maybe you are struggling with your time management, but there will come a day that you will not struggle with it anymore. Maybe you are struggling to pray at this moment, but there will come a day when you won't struggle with it anymore. As long as you are putting it into God's hands. And God, I want to be someone that prays before I move. God, I want to be someone that is disciplined. God, I want to be moved by you, even though I'm failing at it daily. There will come a day when breakthrough will come. But don't give up praying. Don't give up seeking God's face and saying, God, I'm too full of my own stupidity. Come and save me from myself. It took you 30-something years to gain that stupidity. It's going to take God a little while to sort that stupidity out if you give it into his hands. But I know God can do it in an instant. But it is that sense of, I am dependent on God. I cannot do it out of my own. I cannot face my Monday schedule on my own. I need God. I cannot make that decision out of my own. I need God. And the best thing about it is you can pray today about the decisions you don't even know you need to make. You can invite God into now to say, God, work on my heart so that when I get to difficult choices, that I'm ready for it because you are working in me now. Because God knows what's going to happen. We don't. We can pray and say, God, prepare me for what's going to happen. Holy Spirit, move before me. And then when we withdraw by spending time with God, we focus more and more on God, His will, His way. But the less we spend time with God, the less we withdraw, we begin to lean on our own wisdom or foolishness in our own ways. But when we press in and we spend time with God, something of God rubs off on us. His wisdom, His grace, He's just God, your heart. What breaks your heart begins to break you, break my heart, and God, move me. Jesus in his ministry, he withdrew often to pray, and he followed the Father's will, even to the point of death. And Nehemiah's response was prayer. He was burdened by this news of Jerusalem lying in ruins. And the burden by the things of God, that something is out of place, something is not as it should be, it moved him to pray. And he went from prayer to action. And opposition came. And they were not discouraged. They pressed through the work. I feel like I'm playing musical chairs with this feedback, but I think it's the mic bass setup. But anyway. What burden has God put on your heart? Like Nehemiah, what is causing that response in your heart to say, God, things are not as they should be. God, South Africa is in a state. What are we going to do? God, my workplace. God, my family. God, my own life. God, your kingdom. Someone needs to do something. What is burdening your heart? And maybe you're saying this morning, well, I don't have a burden yet. There's not something that God has put on my heart. Well, then pray and ask God. Pray and ask God and say, God, break my heart for what breaks yours. What is it that you want me to see? What is it that you want me to pray about? What is it that you want me to do? And ask God to put on your heart what he wants you to do. And then you pray about what God has put on your heart. If it's nations, pray for nations. If it's people, pray for people. If it's the church, pray for the church. If it is to study, pray for your studies. If it's business, pray for business that it will be a blessing to the kingdom of God. I've seen too many people venture into business saying that I'm going to do this business so that I can bless the kingdom. And when the funds come in, they forget about the kingdom. And you can pray now that God will deal in your heart now so that when you get there, it's dealt with. And after you pray, you move to action with what God has put on your heart. You cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. Nehemiah's response from Nehemiah 1 verse 4 on says, as soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love Him and keep His commandments, let Your ear be attentive and Your eyes open to hear the prayer of Your servant that I now pray before You day and night for the people of Israel, Your servant, confessing the sins of the people of Israel, which we have sinned against You. Even I and my father's house have sinned. There is always room for repentance. It is never too late to say, God, I am sorry that I lean on my own wisdom. Forgive me. Teach me that prayer be my response. And I want to give you a few practical steps to identify what God is stirring in your heart. And begin to pray about it. And after you've prayed about it, you move to action. And when, not if, when opposition comes, you persevere through the discouragement. You persevere through the obstacles, knowing that you've prayed and God has said and He has moved you. And then you withdraw to spend time with God so that you can be filled with Him, be changed by Him, be transformed with Him. And then you fulfill what God has said in your heart to do. Father, I thank You that You are speaking to us this morning. Father, I just want to come and repent and say sorry for the times that we and that I have moved without praying first. And I pray, Father, that You will come and revive our hearts and that You will come and change us, transform us into Your likeness, Jesus. That we move from a place of prayer, that we move from a place that, God, You spoke. And that, God, that You will show us areas that You want us to pray about. That we can be moved by Your Spirit and do Your will. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen and amen.